Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. So give me a second so I can just give a couple of shout-outs. I guess it doesn't matter. I can have that in the background. I guess DFH wouldn't mind if I told him that temperature control is one of the most valuable resources one can have. And if you agree, then DFH Company is the champion and definitely the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222, or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Inquire about that Mitsubishi Mini Split for that hard to heat or hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222, or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Also, one other champion is Jason and his team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios. It's a Witch Wednesday. Be sure to get carryout, curbside service, or delivery from the Hertzborn or Brownsboro Crossing location for lunch or dinner. New menu is here, featuring favorites like the Cali Club, the Wicked, and the Italian Grinder. Order online or on the Witch app. Witch, superior sandwiches. Oh. So what is Jordan? Is Jordan probably itching? He's probably chomping at the bit right now to get to the Nigerian national team, isn't he?
Yeah, either that or he's heading to Disney World.
Right? Like which one?
You know what? After having our discussion about the
bonus money,
bonus packages, I was like, you know what? Now I understand why every player afterwards are like, what are you doing? And they're like, I'm going to Disney World.
Wait, say that again?
You know how, like, you know, obviously the they get paid even more to do that, but I'm just saying, like, you know how, like, every time, you know, somebody wins a championship, they're like, what are you going to do now? And they're like, well, I'm going to Disney World. I understand why every player wants to go on vacation immediately following
their
championship.
You got some extra.
A, they want to celebrate. B, they got a ton of extra money. And the past 8 months, they've been bogged down training for that.
Playoff bonus money. I imagine playoff bonus money is the exact counterpart to when Jalen had to tell me he got fined for that helmet-to-helmet hit. I'm just like, ouch, son. You better learn to form tackle. Because if they cleaning out that in your account just for an accidental
hit. It costs you $25K every time you do that. Come on.
Oh, God. So, yeah, again, so listen, and again, I said it when Steve was on the show. I got my eye open. All the Devin Booker Kentucky championship people, keep that same energy.
Keep going.
Yeah, right. Did they lose? Were they up 2-0 and then lost four straight?
Yeah.
And shout out to Jeb Whiting and all my Wisconsin and Milwaukee Bucks fans. We do have a lot of, you know, Wisconsin, you know, Milwaukee transplants here.
We have a lot of Louisville fans that like Wisconsin because of the 40-0 year.
Right.
I mean, the 38-1 year. That's what I meant.
38-0.
No, they were looking for 40-0, and they got to 38-1.
Oh. Oh, okay, so there's that. Okay, so this is what happened. I'm kind of going to blend two conversations. One conversation I heard a little bit from Drew Diener. One conversation I heard Sweeney and Jack in the Back kind of talking about it. I think we all have kind of different angles on this conversation. I did hear Drew talk about I think we all agree, the ACC big picture. ACC Media Day big picture is you want to grow your brand as a conference. You want to grow the brand. I think it's no secret. The big leverage play University of Louisville used to get into ACC is they knew that the football is the moneymaker, and Louisville was on the definitely where they needed to be in the football to bring something more to the table. So, you know, the conversation about growing the brand. There was a great question about the Comcast deal, the ACC network, some of these regions not being happy with it. The commissioner of Phillips sounded very extremely proactive about getting the TV deal cleaned up. It kind of sounded like that was, they felt like that was kind of hindering the growth, but getting the ACC football better, how would Commissioner Brian Hall make ACC football better? And again, you're going to have teams at the bottom like any other conference. Some teams just are not going to be committed to being good in football. What would you do? Like, what would you recommend? You can be the commissioner. You could be, you know, the head coaches. Like, what do you think Louisville needs to bring to the table to be a better ACC? Or what do you think ACC needs to bring to the table to get better?
Honestly, use this NIL deal to your benefit. And what I would do is try to get conference sponsors, you know, like big name brand companies to jump on board with the conference and have some kind of affiliation where the money is divvied to ACC players for doing sponsorship deals with them, because this new NIL stuff is going to be kind of the driving force of where some players are going to go, because some players are still going to, they're going to go where the better deals are. So if you're a conference like the ACC, you should jump ahead of it and try to have deals in place for your players right when they come in.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's my problem with what you were saying, because, you know, I do get the thought. When you're dealing with an ACC, okay, let's just name some ACC schools right now so we have an idea what we're talking about. We're talking about Boston College, Florida State, Wake Forest, Virginia, North Carolina State, Clemson, Syracuse, Duke, North Carolina. Okay, these are ACC schools that jump to mind, right? You know, easily. So, problem is, if you're going to get into, you don't want to get into just flat out bidding wars, right? Because to reach to beat the old, you know, the Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, you know, to be, you're fighting kind of an uphill battle because they're just traditional brand, you know, traditional SEC powerhouse. So you don't want to get into a direct bidding war, you know, with those guys, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, the way that I'm saying it is that each player would be allotted the same amount. It wouldn't be a, you know, Miami players are getting paid more than Louisville players. Like, it would be like just the ACC's kind of helping initiate some of their NIL deals.
But what would stop that from just, you know, if let's just say you have a good year getting some guys, and then Arkansas and Ole Miss just do the same thing with their bigger brands, and you know, just like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
what can the ACC do that can't be replicated immediately by like the SEC or another conference?
It's tough.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would try to think of something that they can't just steal your idea and just bully over.
I mean,
you.
Probably anything that I bring up, any other conference could eventually end up doing. It's just being the first and getting ahead and kind of staying ahead. Because if you're going to be battling with other conferences, you always got to stay one step ahead of the others.
Let me ask you this. Are there conferences that could...
You know what I'm saying, though?
I know what you're saying. I want to respond to what you're saying because I'm trying to think of a way to put this.
Are you talking about use your geographic locations to help you?
I'm looking for an angle, and the first angle is, okay, you know, there's a saying when they usually say this in gambling, but I think this is true in sports. When the world starts going one way, right, and the game looks like it's getting pass, you know, in football, right? Everybody gets used to playing defense against pass and passing the ball, right? You always know how when the championship time hits, it's the team that can run the football that really just wins, you know, the most of the time. So here's the thing. I was thinking about name, image, and likeness. You know, just everybody's going crazy, name, image, and likeness. But here's the thing. All these kids are too many of them are independent. Like, there's no union, so they're all, like,
I got something for you.
Occupied, huh?
I got another idea.
Okay, listen, they're occupied, right, and preoccupied, and, you know, the business deals or something. If the ACC
– it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tough.
Because anything you think of, at some point, another conference can kind of
right.
duplicate.
No, but here's – I was trying to massage this thought in.
I got one, though.
Who's going to be the first successful team to say name, image, and likeness, you know, at our school, you got to put it in a trust? Where you can't –
Will that hurt, too? Maybe. You think that'll hurt some of the guys?
Maybe, but maybe they're more focused. Maybe they play harder. Maybe their attention isn't to everything else. Yes. Like let's just say Penn State. Let's say Big Ten. Let's say
you can't touch it for 5-10 years.
Or just until you graduate.
Okay.
You know, just you. Yeah, you have a 4-year hold on anything name, image, and likeness. And you did that at Penn State, right?
What if somebody goes pro after a year?
Then they can't touch it. Yeah, then it's yours. Actually, no, you still can't touch it.
You gotta wait the 4 years?
Yeah, if you're going pro.
So they're 3 years into their pros and they get the little $100,000 bonus
from
college?
Yeah, with your interest or whatever accrued interest you had. You know, no, 4 years.
All right, so I got one.
Wait a minute. Go down this road with me. If a school did that, do you think they couldn't compete? Like a big school, but do you think they couldn't compete on the big scale level with less attention on name, image, and likeness, going into a trust, but you still got to play football. Listen, you got to be in our dorms. You got to be under our structure. Would that make you better as a team?
I think like day-to-day operations and practices and games and yes, all that would go better. I think the focus from the player's standpoint would be more on the game. They wouldn't be worried about it. They know they're getting the money, but they're getting it later. It would be almost kind of like it is now because you reap the benefits of your big signing bonus at the end, you know, and all that. But the negative is I think it would hurt recruiting because I think there are some guys who are like, nah, if I can get my $100,000 next year and I can start living that lifestyle right now as soon as I sign – then that'll be awesome as opposed to, you know, kids who maybe don't come from a great background and they got to still tough it out for another 3 or 4 years because they know they got money coming, but I could see a lot of those kids who don't come from great backgrounds going to a school that's going to give it to them right away because they want to get out of that as soon as possible.
It's a tough sell, but I'm just trying to think of a way to jump ahead of the curve. Go ahead. I'm listening.
So mine is, you know, you always talk about keeping the home players home.
Mm-hmm.
So what if the conference does a thing? So conference spans over, 10 states, mm-hmm. we'll say, just theoretically. 10 states. If you stay in state, the ACC has deals lined up for you with local companies in your market, and it be a thing that encourages the staying home of players. So basically what the ACC is doing is they're trying to lock down the states where they have universities in them. You like where this is going?
No.
No?
And you're going to hate why I don't like it.
Okay.
You're going to hate why I don't like it. Everybody's going to hate why I don't like it.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, it encourages the hometown people to stay home. It encourages the ACC to get their states locked down and their players not leave. And it gives them a benefit because the ACC says, okay, Kentucky player, if you stay in state, we already got deals with you with double dogs.
Of course, of course, ACC's not allowed to set it up. But I understand we're all talking hypotheticals with this. You know what the big problem with that is?
What's up?
You got to go out of state to get your talent a lot of times.
Oh, I know. Listen. But there's only so much you can do. You could even make it – you could even – now, here's another angle to what I was saying. You can go to – you know, kind of like Kentucky high school kids. When they're coming up, if you stay in state, even if you don't get a scholarship, you can get keys money based off of how you did at your local high school. What if you did that – but you did it on a bigger scale and said, Kentucky kids, if you want to go to this, North Carolina. If you want to go to North Carolina, in North Carolina, we'll give you the in-state tuition to stay in one of the ACC states. You know, like, we'll give you the...
No, I know what you're saying.
It wouldn't be the in-state tuition because they're on scholarship. We'll give you the... sponsorship deals in North Carolina to get you set up because you stayed within the ACC boundaries.
Do we have
any Florida schools?
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, of course we do. We got Florida State, but
I know. Just kidding.
I was gonna say you're not gonna be able.
We got Miami. Come on, we got Florida. It would help lock down some of Florida because there would only be one powerhouse, Power Five team in Florida that's not in our conference. So to encourage a lot of the Florida kids to stay within the ACC.
Yeah, listen. Again, we had this conversation completely on the fly, so we obviously hadn't.
Yeah, I'm brainstorming as
well. Yeah, we obviously hadn't put a whole lot of thought into this.
This is like the conversation you have with your boys when you're like sitting around drinking a bunch of beers. And you're like, so what if like, right. And we're just throwing out crazy
but to
see what sticks.
Yeah, to bring it back to kind of a more serious role, I do think it's important to get the ACC better, but here's the thing. Your traditional roles, recruit better facilities that can compete with it. I think they've done better with the coach hire. I think they've done great with coaching hiring. I think they've done great with facilities. Between just recruiting more talent and putting more might be butts in the seats. You know, it might still be, you know, your stadium. Again, name, image, and likeness is the unavoidable thing right now. You know, like that's creative.
What if there was sharing of ticket sales? I think universities need that so much. But the thing is if we start
separating, are people going to travel
anymore? Conferences have the power. You could look at possibilities of the ACC could say, hey, we're going to divvy out more money than we usually do, than what we were allotted to by the NCAA, and we're going to give our university, we're going to have more equal spread between our universities.
Right now, name, image, and likeness seems like it's the only available avenue for any teams to make big jumps and close the gap. You're going to have to have partnerships with companies enough to get individuals, you know, get facility and individuals, because it's lines. Everybody knows it's linemen. You got to have linemen.
Yeah.
You have to close the gap. You gotta have 6'4", you know, 4'5", look, 6'4", runs a 4'5", at 412 pounds. And
yeah. I've said it from the start, the biggest difference between a Power 5 team and a mid-major or Division II team is the offensive and defensive line.
Golly. You got to, like I said, or you got to recruit them in as 6'5", skinny guys and just say, hey, man.
Put weight on them.
We're
going to make you fat, all right?
We got to put 130 pounds on you.
It is, because there's only a handful of guys that are, you know, mids, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and 300 pounds and can move.
Right. Mekhi Becktons do not grow on trees.
No.
But there's only a couple of schools that have a team full of them.
Agreed.
Oh, God.
There's only so many that come out every year.
These coaches got to be good, man. Your ACC coach has got to be real good at scheming up some stuff. I mean, that's the only way to keep a decent close gap.
I just wonder, like, if they ever go to this conferences or in control more, if the conferences will have the ability to divvy out more money, because if they can give their universities money, then the coaches are going to be higher graded. You know, we're going to be able to divvy out money to players. It depends what they're allowed to do.
Yeah, the conference will never be able to get involved in that. Listen, we totally went down. I did not mean to go down this total wormhole, but I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to take a commercial break, and then I'm going to get into this 5 must-win situations for next year's football. It's kind of been weighing heavy on my mind. I've been going through the schedule. This is going to be a little more of an exercise than I want it to be, but we'll get it going. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. It's an Olympic one. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Okay, so here was the thought. The thought was, you know, when you start doing media day, you start looking at the schedule, you start taking the schedule a lot more serious, right? So when you do that, you say, okay, I'm going to work backwards to forwards on this conversation. What games are like must wins? And I don't want to get caught into the gotcha of the must win, and you said it, but I kind of thought about it. Like, what games do your fan base need? What games put everyone in a bad mood? What are the panic level games? The top five. This is going to be my list of top five make me feel like there's a problem with our football team and our football direction. I was kind of just sitting around thinking, you know, okay, which games do we have to have this year? And the order about it. Like I said, it's a tough conversation. You know, I don't like to work from the negative side forward, but I really had to. Okay, so here's what I did. I put my list of five, and it's the panic. I don't have a cool name for it. It's my, like, panic level five. And I'm going to start off with number five. Number five, my panic level game that you have to win. Number five, Syracuse. You can't lose to Syracuse. Syracuse is the last game of the season. I think it's one sitting on the table, Brian, in the back. Syracuse is...
I got it. You want me to send it to you?
Yeah, that's fine. Syracuse is the last game of the season. You cannot lose the last game of the season going into your offseason. It doesn't matter if it's at the Carrier Dome. It doesn't matter. Home, last game, Syracuse, and not thought to be a great team. You can't lose that one. That would be an absolute sick feeling if you lose to Syracuse the last. So
I agree.
So being that your sickness feeling from Syracuse, last game of the year, not supposed to be a good team. If you lose that, you'll feel like, you know, the narratives of, you know, the team is not finishing. And then, oh, God, like I could not imagine how angry I would be about that one. Okay, number four, UCF.
Ooh, didn't see that one coming.
Neither did I. But the list made itself. UCF, because you could have a good ACC record. You know, you could have a nice little ACC record. UCF is kind of like a barometer. UCF, what conference are they in?
AAC.
They're AAC. Like, you feel like, okay, on a big national scale, you want respect. But you know UCF, we're familiar with what UCF looks like. Sometimes, in our football lives, we have been UCF.
They are that mid-major you're scared to play because they're top 25 possibility.
Listen, good quarterback play. AAC, Conference USA, we've been UCF many times where you say, I don't know, player for player, that little team looks like they can go with a lot of big dogs, you know, so be careful with them. UCF, we see ourselves in UCF a little bit. You know, as a Louisville fan, if you were anywhere over 30 years old.
Yeah, they are us 15, 20 years ago.
Yes, yes. Or even more, maybe a little more recent, but you're right, probably more, 15. But you're still kind of like, you watch UCF like you know what they are and you know what's going through their head.
Yeah.
Last thing you want to do is be reminded that that's what you used to be. You want to be ACC. You want to be Big East. You want to be above UCF.
But it's also one of those games where you look at UCF's schedule and you know they're going to get up for the Louisville game.
Right.
Because it's one of the big games they're looking forward to because it's their one or two chances at a Power 5 school.
We've been there. We've been there. And we knew when we got a shot to take a shot at a big-name swaggy program, we were ready. So UCF is my number four. Like I said, it's not a world ender. Listen, it's not a world ender to lose to them, you know, but it's one of those in the back of your mind because there's going to be that UCF small program and being that Coach Satterfield can't, you know, is a step-up program. Just those narratives, those icky narratives, UCF, if you lose to them, that kind of – it reminds you of kind of your past a little bit if you lose to UCF and your direction. You're like, we're going to get kicked out of the ACC. ACC for losing to UCF, even though UCF is a decent team. So, yeah, UCF comes in at number four. Number three. Say it, Brian.
Are you putting them that high?
No. Who's number three?
I'm going to say Wake Forest.
Kentucky.
Boston College.
Kentucky.
Notre Dame.
Kentucky.
Well, I would put Kentucky higher than that.
Okay. And listen.
That's why I thought that's where you were going, but I was like, he can't be putting them that high.
Kentucky.
Yet. They're number one.
Kentucky. No, because here's the thing. I respect Kentucky's line. I respect their offensive line. I respect their defensive line play. I don't like to, but I do. You know, like I said, they've focused on their run game. And their defensive line enough for – I mean, how many years has Stoops been there?
10. I don't know, something like that.
Okay, but point being, he's a running coach. After 10 years of trying to develop a super run game, you know, and a defensive line game, I think after 10 years you're
at least – got it?
I mean, not got it, but a formidable –
I kind of like what you're doing because, see, I would have put Kentucky number one on my list, and that's why I didn't guess them right there, but I felt like that's where you were going. But you're doing this from more of a actually important.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not doing it from a fan perspective. Yeah, like, oh, we got to beat Kentucky.
Right, right.
And you're actually doing it from, like, it's an SEC opponent. They got a formidable line, but it's still a must-win game because it's a nice out-of-conference game. But in the grand scheme of things – the ACC wins are what matters.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, yeah, you get the point I'm kind of making, or the game I'm playing here. You know, just the Kentucky. Like I said, I respect their lines, and I could see ending up in a 17-20 game. You know, where we just can't get them. You know, they get some first downs and then they punt, and then we get a couple first downs and they punt. You know, I could see getting caught into a low scoring. Drag out, you know, we're trying to force them to throw. They don't want to throw, you know, just some crap, you know, sloppy game. But again, I do believe that the Kentucky lines are formidable.
Because like you said, unless Kentucky's our lone loss of the year, a loss to Kentucky is really not going to affect us one way or another too much.
It just sucks for Coach Satterfield.
Yep.
He has to take all that heat.
Yep.
You know, like, that's not going to be one of those games where you blame everybody. He's just going to have to wear that one. Dude, you got to beat Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? So that one, again, as a football team, I won't be happy, but I do respect. Like I said, I do respect the infrastructure of Kentucky.
Take away the rivalry, and you say, okay, Kentucky's a decent non-conference game. You know, SEC formidable opponent. You'd like to get that win.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I have Kentucky at number three as my value games. Like, okay, number two.
So you went Syracuse, Central Florida, Kentucky.
Yep. Number two.
All right. Is this one of the ones I guessed already?
I don't think so.
All right. What about North Carolina State?
Nope. Number two is Virginia.
Okay. We always struggle with
Virginia. We always struggle with Virginia. We always struggle with Virginia. This is when, okay, you know, I get mad when people say, oh, every year's a prove it year. This is a prove it year. I got to prove it. Virginia. We look too much like them as far as inconsistency, you know. But we know Virginia, we know what they're going to do. Virginia knows what we're going to do. We know what they're going to do, right? Yeah. Whose game plan? Like, are you working our guys enough to be as tough as Virginia? Because they're a tough team.
The thing about Virginia, I think, that makes Louisville fans so frustrating is you look at them and you're like, they're not that good. Like, we can beat them. Like, this is a team we should beat. But then you get out there on the field and you realize you're the same team and we struggle and we end up in these low-scoring, shoot-it-out battles. And we're like, all right.
This is what I see when I see Virginia. I see they're tough and I see they're disciplined. You got to be tough and you got to be disciplined to get anything done in football, right? And after a couple of years, if Virginia's tougher and more disciplined than us again, and they beat us because they're tougher and more disciplined, then I'm going to say, okay, we got a problem now. You know, the direction of our program, we should be tougher than Virginia.
So you kind of, the last 2 years, kind of give Satterfield the benefit of the doubt, because this actually started before Satterfield even got here with the battles with Virginia. And so you kind of gave him a year or two to kind of get up to speed, see what they do, and then now you think this is the year that he needs to match their toughness.
Right, and here's the thing. Don't be surprised. Like, okay, Louisville fans, right, they act like they don't care about the Virginia game unless you lose. When you beat Virginia, Louisville fans like beating Virginia. Like, don't get me wrong. They really like beating Virginia. They don't talk about it a lot. It's one of those things you don't like to say it out loud. But here's the thing. I heard you making the jokes earlier on the radio. Every Louisville fan wants to beat Locke. That guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The cliche. The cliche Virginia fan, Louisville fans want to beat that guy. Like, you got no business in football. You got no business being that good in basketball. You know, your Zima jokes and your elitist jokes and all that. Like, there's just a spirit to the Virginia team that Louisville's like, you can't lose to them, coach.
No, I agree.
You know, yeah. So
they shouldn't be as good as they are.
Or you shouldn't struggle the way you do with them. You know, yeah. like it's kind of... You kind of get that Kentucky feeling, like, I'm supposed to beat us in football, you know?
It's like, enjoy it while you can. You're all the streaky ACC team that once every now and then makes a good run, and then and then you go back to the bottom of the ACC.
But if you lose to Virginia, you feel like your program is not where it needs to be. So yeah, a lot of these are my rankings are like program. I don't have a good feeling about my program if I don't beat this team. Number one. North Carolina State.
Okay. It makes sense to me.
I mean, psychologically, you're red and black.
I was going to say, it's the most comparable team to Louisville.
I know. You're Ledford. North Carolina State, some kind of way, I think North Carolina State is the school that didn't want us in the ACC. Just look, I have absolutely no historical evidence to prove that that's true, but I just feel like ever since we got into this league, like almost like you could kick out North Carolina State and fill us right in there. You know what I'm saying? And
well, I just think that, to be honest, like North Carolina State's probably the team that we're competing with the most for that, you know, we upper echelon. We know Clemson's going to hold down Ford at number one for a little while until, you know, the Dabo era runs out.
Florida State and Miami are always going to be.
But yeah, Florida State, North Carolina State, and Louisville are kind of all right there, kind of bad. North Carolina kind of battling for that number two spot.
And here's the thing, like program strength, I mean, Louisville has been doing great against Florida State, you know, overall. You know, I think we've been handling pretty good. I feel good about that. Miami, they're looking a lot better. But
yeah.
Louisville fans know you're an uphill battle with your talent level with Miami and Florida State. So even if you just said, okay, Clemson, Florida State, and Miami, you know, got an advantage. You know, you have to do that. When you beat them, it's great. But sometimes they just can overwhelm you with their Florida talent. Like that happens.
I'm surprised you didn't put Florida State on the list. Because they're down a little bit this year, and, you know, I would have put it as a must-win.
The problem is, and this is where I see it, Florida State has professional NFL players all over their field.
100%.
So when we beat them, it's because we out-scheme them and got more, you know, we played like a team better than them. But their talent any year, Brian, like, think about it. They win 5 and 6 games. It's like they had the number 5 recruiting class in the nation. How do you only win 5 games?
I don't know.
What is this, Kentucky? BJ Boston, you had the number 1 player in the country. You win 9 games. That's how Florida State is. But you wouldn't be surprised if you saw BJ Boston dominate next year and Isaiah Jackson dominate in the league.
I wouldn't.
And Devin Booker just take his team to the championship. I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. Like, that's a good point. Like, I would not be surprised if B.J. Boston and Isaiah Jackson go on to have great NBA careers.
Yeah, and of course, I'm bringing that up because your Florida State roster is just full of people, you know, full of big-time players. The reason I don't put Florida State on this because I know any year they could break out. Is this somebody you want to take? Miami doesn't go on that list because if you lose to them, I can tip my cap to some school. Like, these are the teams I can't really tip my cap to. The Virginia. I'm gonna have a tough time. Okay, perfect. The Virginia, I'll have a tough time tipping my cap to. North Carolina State. I'm looking at my team. I'm looking at my program. You know, the Kentucky game. I just know the head coach is gonna wear that game over anybody. UCF. I think the fans are going to wear that one more than it. Like, the fans are going to wear UCF subconsciously. You know, it's going to remind them of something. It's going to point out your youth. You know, your time that, like, look, you've gone on to be great and successful, but that one kid got the best of you in the sixth grade. Mark and Kelsey Riggs, let's fire away.
She is having a seat here right now, guys. Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network. She's a taking off the Britney microphone. Look at that. There you go.
It's the hair that's the...
I don't have that problem.
It's stuck in everything. I got so much of it, it doesn't matter if it pulls out.
All right, Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network joins us here on ESPN 680, 93 on the Ville. Is it nice to be back, sort of have everyone in person here again?
It is. I think, like, just
nice, not the word you're going for.
Nice is like the bare minimum. I said earlier, like, I feel like a kid that just walked out of a candy store on Christmas morning that's about to open all their presents. Like, just getting able to be back in person, and selfishly, like, all these ACC Network people, I haven't seen them in person in forever. So that's really exciting. And then I just think the energy of everybody finally being back together. This time last year, literally 1 year ago to the day, I was flying back to Bristol, Connecticut, and to start doing shows there. But we didn't know what shows. We didn't know what the season looked like. We didn't know what the future would hold. And so to have the opportunity now, obviously there's always going to be question marks as we continue through this pandemic. It just feels like a very energizing feeling to be back in this place.
Yeah, I'm not an extrovert like by any means, but there is something energizing about doing this in person again. That usually, I don't care how many Zooms we do.
Yeah.
The indirect stuff, the body language, all that sort of thing. Like, it's just, you cannot replace being able to do this in person. But I would imagine you got pretty good at doing this stuff from home, though.
I'm still trying to figure out if I'm really looking you in your eyes or your TV screen, because everybody I've talked to for the last year Brian's has been a TV screen that has not been in studio with me. There's something special about just, A, having the camaraderie, especially of a studio show, of people sitting next to you and really being able to see and interact with them. But also, we can all do the Zooms, and I'm sure that'll be incorporated now because we've all gotten so good at them. But just the relationships that you develop with the players and with the coaches, and you know, you get to know their personalities. EJ Manuel is always in studio, so he just said when he saw Kenny Pickett in person for the first time, he's like, my gosh, I didn't realize how tall he actually was, you know. So there's different things that you notice. We just had Jeff Sims on, and everybody's saying, you know, Georgia Tech quarterback, that he looks like he's beefed up a little bit and muscled up. So there's different things that you notice, I think, about being able to be in the same room, and you just get a different personality from people, right? Like, you can try to have fun through a Zoom interview, but is it really going to be that genuine when you don't really get to have that interaction? So
we're talking with Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network. How hard has it been, I guess, to sort of, you know, launch the network, start doing all of it, and then you get, everyone has to go home.
I know.
Do you feel like sort of the momentum got interrupted there a little bit, at least?
For sure, yeah, because I felt like in the first year, you know, we got all of football season and had some great chemistry, some great momentum. We get through most of basketball season and then just a screeching halt at the ACC tournament in Greensboro. I'll never forget that day and standing on the court and seeing Commissioner Swofford walk out there and Clemson's watching and Florida State is there and saying that, hey, this is it. The momentum, I think, definitely shifted a little bit because then we were on a pause. We were doing some shows. It's exciting, though, because now it almost feels like a relaunch. So kind of selfishly, we're doing it all over again. This is our first ACC kickoff where we've gotten to have continuous comprehensive coverage on the network for two straight days. 2 years ago when we were here, they were announcing the ACC network. And so we were here and people did a few media hits, but we didn't have, you know, we have the desk up from 9 to 5 today and tomorrow. So that's exciting too. I just think from the standpoint of getting everyone back together. And then we also just announced that we're having a roadshow this year where we're going to hit, starting in August, we're hitting all 14 ACC schools and kind of taking it on the road. And I think that kind of goes into rebuilding that momentum and, you know, almost making it feel like another launch of the network, because while a lot of the early momentum is still there, you know, when you take a break that long, and sports is so different that, you know, everything has kind of changed.
How about the challenge, I think, for all of you, you know, to sort of an ACC-devoted network when you've got changes at the two most prominent basketball coaches, you know, in the league and perhaps in the country, the commissioner changing here? I mean, it's an entirely new league. All of the sudden, as you sort of try to relaunch, how difficult has that been for you guys?
2020 surprised me in a lot of ways. Like, everything that I thought, you know, this will only be a little while, this will be that. So I thought that I had learned to, like, not be surprised by anything after 2020. But if you would have told me that I would be helping host shows for Coach K and Roy Williams retiring this offseason, I would have said, no way, we're not ready for that yet. It's different. And we talked a lot throughout the first season of ACC basketball, first two seasons on the network, about what it looked like in the coaching perspective years down the road, you know, because we are blessed as a conference to have some of the best coaches in college basketball, some of the best programs in college basketball. And when you think about the Mount Rushmores of college coaches, a lot of them are from the ACC. And so we talked about, what does that look like down the road? Well, those conversations, we didn't know we would really be trying to chisel in new names this soon. It was definitely, it's going to be different. I'm looking forward to that Duke-Carolina game at the end of the year more than ever. And I can't imagine that's going to be a harder ticket to get than a Super Bowl ticket, I would think, when you get to see those two teams play and it's Coach K's last one. And it's going to be interesting. But it's an exciting time, I think. I think the league is really excited about the direction direction that not just with football, basketball, but really all sports that they're headed and has continued to have a lot of success.
It was odd to not see John Swofford out there today, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Yes, yes. We had an event with him last night, which was so nice to get to do that. You know, when the announcement came out that he was retiring, and Commissioner Phillips has just been phenomenal getting to know him over the last 6 months as well. But that was the first thing I thought, like, oh, man, I mean, he's been a part of the ACC as a commissioner for 24 years, the longest tenured commissioner, but has been a part of the ACC his entire life.
50-something years,
exactly, right? Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So when that came out, I'm like, gosh, I sure hope that down the road we all get to celebrate him. So that was good to do. And it's fun to see and hear about the relationship between him and Commissioner Phillips and kind of the transition that they have gone through as Commissioner Phillips takes over. I mean, he, as we said, he's been in the league forever. He was a commissioner for 24 years, so there's certainly so much that he knows and that can pass along as we get ready. And then I'm excited about Commissioner Phillips and all the ideas and the visions that he has, especially, I mean, college athletics is changing. I'm sure you've talked about it more times than you can count now. It's all the buzzwords, right? If it was a drinking game, people would not be listening anymore for how many times we said NIL and name, image, likeness and sponsorships and money endorsements.
I mean, we talked to D.R. King. He made a business out of it himself.
I know, which is so cool. We haven't gotten to talk to him yet. We're talking to him in a little while. And it's interesting to see the different approaches, right, and how it impacts players differently. We had Sam Howell on from North Carolina a little while ago, and Sam's first move was to partner with a program called Table that is a charity that feeds kids in North Carolina that aren't able to get meals. And so there are so many different avenues. Like, that charity aspect isn't even where my brain went to first. So, you know, there's just so many different avenues that these players have, and I think it's even more cool because we saw student athletes last year find their voices more than ever. And it's going to be something that continues to grow, whether it's social justice, whether it is name, image, likeness, whether it is saying, hey, we don't know if we want to play a 12 college football playoff expansion, 12 teams, and play extra few games. You know, these college athletes are speaking out more than ever and finding their voice, and I think it's been really good for all of college athletics.
All right, Kelsey Riggs, ACC Network, thanks for making a little bit of time for us here. Enjoy the rest of these. Appreciate
thanks it. Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. All right, Marcus, back to you, buddy.
You got it. Another good catch, a good interview, Mark Ennis. Speaking of great interviews, I did want to – we're running up short on time, but I'm going to try to shoehorn as much as this Drew Diener, Vince Tyree interview as I can to wrap it up. Brian, do you have the interview? Like I said, we'll squeeze as much out of that as we can for the Drew Diener.